Amen. Thank God for another day. We're going to look into the topic, a very interesting topic today. It's about following the lamp wherever it goes. Following the lamp wherever it goes. It's a very important topic, and those of us who wish to enter into glory, those of us who wish to partake of those beautiful promises of God have to follow the lamp. This message will seek to give us more understanding into that particular phrase, follow me. Remember when Jesus Christ saw his disciples, I think it was John and the brother, Peter, I think they were fishing. Jesus Christ passed and he saw them. What did he tell them? He told them, follow me. That's all, follow me. And the Bible account say that, you see, that they did what? That they left their nets, they left whatever they were doing, and they did what? They followed him immediately. You see it? This thing comes by what? By revelation. You cannot just see somebody and follow the person, can you? If somebody walks by you and tells you, follow me, will you follow the person? You will not follow the person. You see, but obviously, these people had something implanted in them by God from the foundation of the world so that they were able to recognize the voice. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice and they know me, they hear it, they know it, and they follow me. My sheep, they know me, they follow me. Amen. So you see that some people are predestined. When you hear this message, automatically you understand, you just understand, you just know that this is the voice that you've been waiting for. You know that this is the voice that you've seek for all these years, and suddenly it is before you. And brethren, that voice is still here today saying, follow me. Hallelujah. If you turn me quickly to the book of Revelations, chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, it says, then I looked, and behold, a lamp standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their head. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the voice of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are the redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no what? No deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Amen. These people that God is bringing out in these last days, this 144,000 you see on top of this mountain, it is the chosen company of people, saints that have come into the place of perfect victory in God. These are people, that have been redeemed from among men. These are people who have seen and tasted the end of the faith. That is the result of obeying the word of God. Do you hear me? 144,000 is never a physical 144,000. 144,000 is 12 times 12. Amen. It talks about the complete body of sons of God. You have 12 sons of Jacob. 12 sons of Jacob. You have 12 tribes of Israel. You have 12 disciples. It is sonship. Amen. So this is a complete body of Christ. I say, when you see the thousand in the Bible, it talks of infinite. 000 talks of infinite. Amen. God uses that number when he doesn't want you to know or to physically point to things. He uses the thousand. In the book of Job, he talks about one man in a thousand. He talks about an infinite number. Amen. Nobody here can count the number of saints or the number of these people that have been redeemed and are being redeemed. This number is only God that knows these things by head. Nobody knows these things. Even the angels don't know. The only God that knows this number. Amen. So this 145,000, they were upon Mount Zion. We know Mount Zion is the place of God's dwelling. Mount Zion is the place where you have the city of God. Mount Zion is a spiritual mountain of higher elevation. Just like when you see a mountain in this physical life, a mountain in this physical world, it has got a peak that is normally higher than every other place. If you look at mountains, mountains are generally, they normally point towards heaven. Amen. So you even feel that probably the peak of a mountain is even near the sky or something, is in the heavens. Amen. This is God's dwelling place. Mount Zion is supposed to be the highest mountain upon, you know, spiritual, the highest spiritual mountain in this world. Because you know that there are many mountains, many spiritual mountains. But Mount Zion is the highest of them all. It is there that you have victory. It is there that you have the New Jerusalem. It is there that you have, you know, all the peace and all the joy. Hallelujah. It is there that all the power in the world dwells. It is God's own dwelling place. Amen. It is where you have the throne of God. Hallelujah. These are spiritual realities. Amen. You have to cast down from your mind those imaginations that you've heard from your church systems. Or from your churches, you have to cast down those imaginations that you've heard from your poems that your parents gave you. You have to cast those imaginations that is in the mind of, you know, men when they say there is a physical, you know, is a physical geographical location, Mount Zion or his kingdom. It is not. These are spiritual realities. Amen. Hallelujah. So these people are standing upon Mount Zion. The Bible says that they have what? They have been redeemed. To be redeemed talks about to be saved, to be taken away, to be bought. Hallelujah. They are no more among that old generation that abided in debt, that abided in deceit. These people have been taken up, you know, and, you know, shown the light, the love of God. Hallelujah. They've been redeemed. Their soul has been exalted from that lowly realm where there was destruction and sorrow into that high place of elevation in God. They've been promoted in the spiritual realm. Amen. Bible says that they sing a new song, and nobody can learn that new song except those people who have been redeemed. Amen. It is a song of victory. Hallelujah. It is a song of joy. It's a song unto the Lord that the world cannot sing that song. People of this world cannot sing. It is only those that have been redeemed of God that can sing this song. Hallelujah. They play harps in their song. And the Bible says that they do what? There's one key that you have to follow here. Say that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Amen. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? There's a particular Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Yes. Christ is the Lamb. Amen. He's the Lamb of God. You remember when John saw Jesus Christ coming for the baptism? You know, John used to give baptism. You know, John the Baptist. What did he say? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. Jesus Christ, John had a revelation by the Spirit of God that was the man, that was the Christ. The Christ was dwelling in that body of Jesus. And he was there. He had come to the world to take away what? The sins of the world. Amen. After he was baptized, what happened? Jesus Christ went into the wilderness. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Then he came forth. Hallelujah. There are some things I want you to notice, things that he did. Very specific things that he did. And he's still doing that thing today. The Bible says that when he walked up to Peter and John, and so what did he tell them? Follow me. Amen. Follow me. Follow me. Hallelujah. And they did what? They left all their businesses. Amen. They left all they were doing. They didn't give it a second thought. They did what? They followed the Lamb. They followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you hear that voice now telling you to follow him? Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to go into this message. We're going to seek to to tell us where we are following the Lamb to. Amen. And how we follow the Lamb. Hallelujah. How do we follow this Lamb? That's how this message is. This is what this message is. You see, the Lamb of God, there are certain things in the Lamb. If you go to the book of Revelation chapter 5, from verse 6 to 14, these are things that John saw. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 to 14. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood what? A lamp, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are what? The seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Amen. See, this is John was actually taken in the spirit, and he had a revelation of the throne of God. He had a revelation of, you know, God's presence. Amen. And what happened? The Bible says that he saw a lamp in the midst of the throne. In the lamp in the midst there. Because there were elders, there were creatures. All these are things that we do not want to go into in this message. I just want to point out to you the lamp that was before the throne of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says that the lamp had seven eyes, seven horns. And the Bible is careful here to say that these are what? The seven spirits of God that are done what? They are sent to the earth. The seven spirits of God are sent to the earth. That's to the world. Amen. Because this revelation here is a revelation of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not saying that there's somewhere up there in the sky where you have one lamp with seven eyes all over his body and two and seven horns. Amen. Isn't that frightening? Eh? Isn't that frightening? Amen. If you see something like that, won't it even look demonic? So we have to understand what God is saying. God, these things are not physical things. These are spiritual things, amen? There is no lamp, no physical lamp anywhere with seven eyes and seven horns, amen? These are spiritual revelations, amen? Hallelujah. So you can see the lamp in the presence of the God. And he has sent the seven spirits of God. Talks about what? The seven spirits of God are what? It's one spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The spirit of wisdom, understanding, spirit of counsel, the spirit of power, amen. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, hallelujah. These seven spirits of God is one spirit. It's just like when you see light. Light has got seven colors in it, embedded in it, amen. Seven major colors embedded in it, hallelujah. But yet, together, it's still light. So that's how the Spirit of God is. The seven spirits of God is the Spirit of God. Amen. Now let's quickly go back. Let's go down again from verse 9 in Revelation chapter 5. And look at what they are saying. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. Revelation chapter 5. Are you there? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. You are worthy. Am I wrong? Okay, yes, sorry. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood, by your blood. Amen? Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nations. And have made us what? Kings and priests to our gods, and we shall what? We shall reign on the earth. Then I look and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creature and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, wisdom, strength, and glory, and blessing. Amen. And every creature what? Which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, which are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who live forever and ever 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 and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, these particular scriptures here are centered around the lamp. Amen. The lamp of God is the Christ. Amen. And that is the lamp that came to redeem mankind from his destruction. Amen. He came to redeem mankind from hell, from suffering, from pain, from distress, from anguish. Hallelujah. You see clearly here that all these creatures in heaven, all the angels, amen, all the people in heaven at that point, they bow and they worship this lamp. And they say worthy, that he was the one that is worthy. He is the one that has redeemed them. Amen. He is the one that has what? Given them the honor. He is the one that has given them the glory. He is the one that has given them what? Understanding. Hallelujah. That wisdom is understanding. Amen. It is the lamp of the Lord that comes to give understanding and wisdom. Amen. It is that wisdom and that understanding and that power that he uses what to redeem us from the earth. Amen. So you see, when people like John and Peter and James left their fishing business, left, you know, their families, left everything to follow the lamp, of course they had an insight into the fact that the power to live, the power to save was in the lamp. Hallelujah. The seven spirits of God that are upon the lamp, you see, are sent by the lamp to the world to do what? To redeem men from this world, which is the seven eyes of God, the seven spirits of God. And you see, wherever the lamp goes, the Bible says that like we read earlier on, say wherever the lamp goes, he's those people who are to be redeemed, they follow him. And how do they follow him? Because today we know that there's no lamp anywhere, there's no physical sheep anywhere or lamp with seven eyes that we have to follow. No. We follow him by what? By the leading of the what? Of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, which is the same, is the Spirit of Christ, which is Christ. It has been given to us to give us understanding, to enlighten our eyes, to give us wisdom. Wisdom that surpasses the wisdom of this world. Amen. A wisdom that is so powerful, hallelujah, that it makes you wiser than your enemies. It makes you above all. It makes you come to sit on the throne and to come and sit in victory. Hallelujah. You see those 24 elders? Amen. They were bowing down and, you know, giving their throne. Hallelujah. It talks about kingship. Amen. The power to, that is, the Spirit will give us the power to attend to that place of kingship and rulership, where we can reign as kings upon the earth. And we can sing a new song of victory as we follow the seven spirits of God. Amen. The Spirit, he comes to give us understanding. Amen. When you follow the Lord, what actually happens is that as the revelation comes into you, the old man dies. That old man is the man that lived in deceit. Is the man that lived according to lies, according to, you know, the wisdom and darkness that is in his world. It is the old man that lived without the knowledge of God, amen, that caused you to be self-conscious and caused you to exalt yourself as God in your body. Amen? That is that, you know, old man. And that old man, we have to do what? We have to die. Amen? The old man dies as you follow the lamp. Amen? Hallelujah. If you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 10. Yes, from verse 34. And when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever desires to come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will do what? Will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I hear what he's saying. When we follow the Lord, actually, what happens is that the old man dies. Amen. Amen. What happens is that the old man dies. Hallelujah. The old man dies, and you see, as we follow the Lord, a new man emerges that is after the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. In another account of the scripture, it says that those that deny themselves and follow me will inherit what? Eternal life, which is the life of God, the power of God, the glory of God. Hallelujah. And this is the place that the Lamb wants us to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Another account says that those that have followed him in the regeneration, you know what it means to be regenerated? It talks about transformation, a renewal. Say those that have followed me in the regeneration, amen, shall gain eternal life. In this life, that's in this world, they shall do what? Have more, they shall gain brothers, sisters, you know, houses. And they shall what? They shall gain eternal life. Amen. These are very, very precious promises. As we follow the Lamb, how do we follow the Lamb? We follow him by the leading of the Spirit of God. As we hearken to the Spirit of God day by day in our lives. Amen. That's what happens. That old man that seeks to gain this world. You know, the doctrine that we have heard over the years is how we can gain this world. Am I lying? Isn't that what we've heard all over these years? Right from when we were born? The wisdom of the world is how you can gain this world. How you can gain the glory of this world. Amen. But he never talks about the knowledge of God. He never talks about knowing the Lord. He never talks about loving the Lord. Amen. It has always exalted other things above God. Societal values. It has always exalted, you know, material things above the knowledge of God. See, but all these things are going to be destroyed. All these things end. Amen. All these things end when we do what? When we hear the message of the kingdom. Hallelujah. All these things end when we follow the Lamb. A regeneration talks about a washing, a transformation. Hallelujah. All those things that have blocked our minds, that have implanted in us, all that knowledge of good and evil, all that knowledge of carnality, everything now will begin to be what? Will be washed away. Will be so a new man is generated in us. Hallelujah. We are regenerated. It's like taking us through a factory for processing. Amen. Taking us to a factory, you know, and we are refined. Hallelujah. We are transformed. And that is what the Spirit of God does. Amen. The Spirit of God is actually a knowledge and a wisdom that comes from the very heart of God. The Spirit of God gives you that. That the Spirit of God was sent to teach you, to give an understanding of what that which is true. Amen. Of that which is true. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the thing that the Spirit of God was not sent for you just to blabble in tongues. And hallelujah. The major thing, the work of the Spirit, is to teach you, is to announce to you things to come. Hallelujah. It's to strengthen you in the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of the God, of the true God. That's what the Spirit of God is here. Here for men. Man, we go to some churches, what you just hear is that the Spirit of God is there for you to talk in tongues. That you talk in tongues for 6 hours a day. Talk in tongues, you know. We're not saying that is wrong. But it's of no use, amen. If you don't open your ears, your spiritual ears, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this hour. Amen. So those people who hearken to the Spirit of the Lord, amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord, as he teaches you and you hearken, amen, a new man emerges that is after the image of God, that is after the likeness of God. Hallelujah. And we know one thing. When we follow the Lord, we now have access to that very throne of God. We now have access to the presence of God. Those angels, those 24 elders that were serving and praising the Lord, that we read in the book of, it is us, it is we, in our redeemed state. Amen. An angel is a servant. If you see angels in the Bible, angels are servants. Amen. Hallelujah. Angels are servants. Angel, when you see an angel appears to do the will of the master of God. An angel does not have a name. If you see an angel, you see God. Amen. It's just a servant. Just a servant. That's all. Jesus Christ said it clearly. That those of you that serve me, those of you that follow me, where I am, there you will be also. Isn't it? He's not saying that when you serve him, you will die and you will come to heaven to meet him. No. He says, as you are serving him right here now, as you are following him right here now, where he is, he will do what? He will take you so that you will be with him. Those 24 elders, those angels, those people in the heavens, they were there in the heavens before the throne of God. The lamp was there also. Amen. Because Jesus Christ said, where I am, you will be. The lamp was there. That is why those people could be there. If the lamp was not there, those people had no right to be there. It was the lamp that redeemed those people, those other multitudes. That the Bible says there were thousands of thousands of thousands of thousands. The Bible says that it is the lamp, because they were saying, what is the lamp that had redeemed them? It is the lamp that gave them the right to be there before the throne of God. Amen. It is the lamp that gave them authority, amen, to be before the what? The throne of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the work of God. Amen. Let's quickly rush to John chapter 12, verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Amen. I think I hear what the Lord is saying here. If we serve him, amen, and follow him, what happens? You see, where I am, then where is Jesus? Where is the Lamb today? Amen. Where is the Lamb? It's in the heavens. Amen. It's before the throne of God. Hallelujah. He's there. The Bible says that if we, where I am, we are there. That is we who hearken to this message. We who understand this message. Amen. We are lifted up from these realms of death so that we can stand in the presence of the Lord, so that we can be with him. Hallelujah. In another account in John, it says that the world cannot see me anymore. The world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you live also. Amen. We see him because of what? The power of the Spirit that he has given us. Amen. Because of the redemptive power, he causes us to be elevated so that we can come to that place in the realms of the Spirit where we can behold the glory of the Lord, where we can stand with Christ in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to realize that these things are spiritual things. Amen. Hallelujah. These things are spiritual things. You can never ever know Jesus Christ no more after the flesh. Amen. If you want to see Jesus Christ, you better be looking at me. You better be looking at the other brethren around the world who have the message, who have the kingdom message with them, the true kingdom message, the true kingdom message. Those are the ones that you should look to. The Bible says it clearly that if we had known Jesus Christ after the flesh, thus we know him no more. Amen. Because that Christ is not the flesh body of Jesus. Amen. God used that body for that 33 years just to reveal the glory and the attributes of God, what? In the flesh. After that, that is finished. Amen. He's a spirit. And God is still revealing that glory through those of us who are hearkening to the message today. Hallelujah. We are the ones that the Lord is walking through. We are the body of Christ. If you see us, you are seeing who? You are seeing Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. If you hear my message, if you listen to my message, you are listening to the voice of the Lord. Paul is talking through me. John is talking through me. If I tell people I've had encounters with Peter and John and Paul, you know, they will probably think I'm nuts. But this is a reality. I've been taken to a place where I could hear and, you know, fellowship with these people. They are there. Hallelujah. Amen. So where I am, there my servants will be. Those that follow me, there they will be. Amen. So the Spirit of God, when we follow the Lamb, actually, we follow those seven spirits of God, which is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So let us, you know what we're doing. Let us hacking on to know the Lord. Follow on to know the Lord. Understanding that, you know, there is glory. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Now, there's something that happened. If you turn to me into the book of John chapter 13, verse 33. John chapter 13, verse 36, rather. John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me what? Afterwards. Hallelujah. You know, Peter, Peter said he could not deny the Lord. Eh? He told the guy, no, he's going to follow him unto death. He's going to follow him unto death, unto prison. He's going to follow him, you know, to the end. Jesus Christ told him plainly, look, my man, my friend, my brother, my disciple, I understand your zeal. I understand, you know, your love, you know, but you cannot. You can't follow me now. But afterwards, you will follow me. Why did he say, afterwards, you will follow me? Why did he say, at that point in time, they could not follow me? Why? Can you answer that question? It was not the time. Why wasn't it the time? It wasn't the time because they hardened the Spirit of God. Amen? In fact, Jesus Christ could not tell them all those things. The Bible says that Jesus Christ said there are many things he wanted to tell them, but they could not understand those things at that time. Why? Because they did not have the Spirit of God. Amen? Jesus Christ wanted to tell the disciples something several times, but they could not understand. They could not comprehend these things. Amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ said a time will come where he will no longer speak to them with shadows. He will no longer speak to them in things, you know, that are not clear. The day will come where he will speak to them in a very clear voice. Hallelujah. And that day came when, in Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came down. Hallelujah. That's the seven spirits of God. That day when it came down, from that moment, you see the disciples change. Hallelujah. If you read the books of Peter, of John, you will discover that. If you read the books of Peter, you will discover that Peter, that they're completely different. That is, these are people, they're completely different from those disciples we saw during the time of Jesus. Why? Because they had the Spirit of God working in them now and enlightening them and giving them understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So he told them that what? At that time, they could not understand certain things. Why? Because they did not have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He told them that it was good for them that he left and he went away. Because if he didn't go, what will happen? The Spirit of God will not come. Amen. We know that embedded in Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Spirit of God. Was the Spirit of God. That was his dispensation. But he had to leave this world to split that body so that that Spirit of God will be released to the world. So the moment he left this world and was glorified, the Spirit of God now came down. That same Spirit that descended upon Jesus at the baptism in the form of a cloud or in the form of a dove, now descended upon, you know, the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And they started speaking in tongues. They started speaking in new tongues. Hallelujah. This is a tongue of the kingdom age. This is a tongue of a heavenly tongue. It's a new tongue. Hallelujah. It's the message. Hallelujah. It's a tongue that the ordinary man cannot understand. They can't comprehend it. Amen. But we comprehend this tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. These are messages. It's a language after the ages to come. And we speak it by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says those that were redeemed in the book of Revelation, that they sang a new song. And nobody could speak those songs except those who were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ told them that it was good that he left so that the Spirit of God would come. And when the Spirit of God came, Paul and co now could say that they stand in the heavenly places. Did you see Paul saying it? Paul said that God has raised up so that we are to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, Paul had this total revelation of the fact that he was standing before the throne, that he was sitting on a throne in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He had the authority. He had the redemption. He had the grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Do you understand? So when we follow the Lord, this following the Lord talks about being led by the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God, you know, regenerate and turn our lives around. Amen. So what do we say, brethren? We say, Spirit of God, come. Hallelujah. Let us go into the quiet and hearken and hear that voice. It comes by teachings, giving us understanding, enlightenment, so that you begin to know who you are. You begin to know the love that the Father has for you. You begin to know the grace that is in the blood. Amen. Some of us are still living in condemnation. Some people don't believe that, you know, that they are loved of God, that God does not, you know, take them as blameless. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that they are blameless before the throne. Amen. You just have to have that revelation that God has canceled your old sins away, your whole self. Hallelujah. You must have that revelation. Amen. Notice that it was before the throne that they were blameless. Eh? The Bible didn't say that they were blameless before men. You can never be perfect before men. Men will never ever accept you to be perfect. But the Bible says that they were what? They were blameless before the throne. And all this is because what? They followed the Lamb. They followed the seven spirits of God. Wherever it went. Amen. They were regenerated. Amen. Their old thinking, their old ways has been transformed. And they begin to see the thing after the way the Lord sees it. Amen. Thank you, God. So remember, follow me. I'll round up with one example in the Bible. And follow me. Remember Elijah, Elisha? Elijah, Elisha. Amen. What happened? When the Lord told Elisha to hand over his authority and mantle, he sent him to Elisha. He went to Elisha and he dropped his cloak upon Elisha and told Elisha, follow me. He told him the same thing. And you know, from that moment, Elisha did what? He followed Elijah. He followed Elijah. It was a regeneration work. Amen. Because as he's following the servant is teaching him things. The servant is imparting the knowledge into him. The servant is imparting the virtue into him. The servant is imparting the power into him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that no servant can be greater than a master. Amen. But a servant or a teacher or a disciple that is well instructed can be what? Like the master. Amen. What happens? So he follows Elijah in the regeneration. He follows Elijah wherever Elijah goes. And finally, when Elijah is taken up, what happens? The anointing and the power falls upon Elisha in double fold. Hallelujah. So that when Elisha came back, it was a new man. It was not more that Elisha that they knew of old. Amen. But he did what he followed. He left his family. He left everything that he had. He left his business. Amen. He left his religious people behind. And he followed Elijah wherever Elijah went. Likewise, manner, we have to follow the lamp. Follow that voice. Follow the spirit. Amen. Those of us who seek glory. Those of us who seek the love of God. Those of us who seek this salvation that has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Let us follow on to know the Lord. I say follow on to know the Lord. Amen. Thank you.